Up on the screen. Have we gone live already, have we? Okay. Good morning. Good morning and welcome and well done, folks. Because those of you who are here are proving that you weren't listening too much to the Clarke session last Sunday when he announced the service would be at 10:30 and until 10:45. I'll keep a watch for those folks who come in slightly confused looking at 10:29, but well done, folks. Good to see you. Thank you to those of you I know who are part of the upstairs congregation, the folks in the gallery. Appreciate you sitting downstairs. It just keeps things simpler today. Obviously, things are different. Once every 5 years, we host the Lisburn Royal British Legion Remembrance Service. It is our turn this year, so that service is coming in round about 11:30. And we know some of our folks will be coming just for that service today. If you're here for the first service, you're very welcome to stay for the second. I suspect most of you will be going, no problem. But during this first service, then I'll be handing over in a little bit to Hannah and our young folks and our, to lead us as they reflect back on the summer. Folks, I know it's against our nature in Railway Street, but after this service this morning, I'm going to ask you to leave promptly. Don't worry, it's not that COVID is back and we're back to social distancing. It's simply that we need time to get this building then prepared for that second service. So unfortunately, folks, not going to get to use this area this morning. Next Sunday, yes, not today. And we'd ask you to leave promptly and to get in your cars and get away promptly to help us accommodate that second service. There's a retiring offering, as there always is, for the Earl Haig Fund. There are envelopes for that at the door that you can use. Just a couple of announcements. Clarke Session, remember our meeting tomorrow night. Note that new venue. We're in the upper room, folks. We're moving over here. We're in the upper room for that Clarke Session meeting, 7:30 tomorrow. Then I would draw your attention very much to Friday night, folks. It's been a long journey to this point. I'm here a little over 7 years. We've been working on this link for 6 years of that time I've been here. And even before that, I know the plans for this were initially drawn up in Brian Gibson's time. It's wonderful to be at this point, and we're very conscious of God's hand upon us. It would be very easy to say, well, you know what, I've been and had a good look around, I've seen it, so I'll give Friday night a miss. That would be satisfying ourselves, but it wouldn't be honoring God. This is an opportunity for us as a congregation, along with invited guests, to come together as the people of God did in Jerusalem after they completed the walls. It's an opportunity to come together, to worship God, to give thanks to him. Moderator of the General Assembly, John Kirkpatrick, will be with us for that. There will be supper in the link and minor hall following that. Please make that a priority to be here on Friday night, folks. We've got a lot to do then in terms of paying back that loan. We want to make a good start. We want to make a dent in that right away. And so I would encourage you to give what you can throughout the course of next weekend. The instructions how to do that, there are gift day envelopes in the pews today, additional ones at the door. Or you can do it by bank transfer. And again, in advance, I thank you folks for giving generously, because you have and you'll continue to do that. And even our harvest offering, folks, hope you saw that. That's some £1,200 more than it was last year. And that's tremendous. So thank you for that. Don't forget that food bank, the Lisburn Food Bank Christmas Hamper Appeal is now running. Some of you have already given to that. It's tins of fruit, it's tubs of sweets, and the triangular cooked ham. We've been doing the same things for the last 2 years, and that needs to be in by the end of this month. And then next Sunday morning, another special service we're looking forward to, and that is our Girls Brigade, their second service of enrollment next Sunday back at 10:30. Let's pray together. Almighty God, who in your great goodness has brought us to this day, we thank you for your protecting love by which alone you have sustained our freedom. In times of trouble, when we cried to you, you heard us and saved us out of the hands of our enemies. And for your great deliverance, your great salvation from the powers of sin and death, which you have worked for us through your Son dying on the cross and rising in triumph from the grave, we bless and praise your glorious name. Enable us now, Lord, to meet with you to worship you as we ought. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Boys and girls, as you look around this morning, and apologies, I'm not going to bring you up this morning, but as you look around this morning, many folks are all wearing something. Now, normally, you know, we're all wearing different things on the Sunday, but there's something most of us will have in common in terms of what we're wearing. What is it? If you look around, what are we wearing today? What was that, Emily? Poppies, absolutely right. Put the picture up, please. Yeah, if you look around, you will see lots and lots of poppies. Now, why do we wear poppies today? Why are we wearing poppies today? Anybody tell me? Why are we wearing poppies? Or one of the bigger folks want to tell us, why are we wearing poppies today? Well, we're not wearing it simply as a fashion accessory, anything like that. We're wearing it today because this is a special Sunday. What do we call this Sunday? Emily, you're on fire this morning. Remembrance Sunday. It's Remembrance Sunday, and the poppy is a symbol of remembrance, and it goes back to the end of what we call the First World War, which was over 100 years ago, and the battles of those years were fought from trenches where row upon row of men fell and died in the fields of France and Belgium, fields where we see in the second picture, fields of red poppies grew. And so we wear poppies in remembrance of the men who died then and who have died since defending our country. And very, very quickly, I want you to take, let's go back to the next picture. I want you to look at our poppy because there are three colors to our poppy. Do you see that? There are just three colors. First of all, right in the middle, what color is that right in the middle of the poppy? Black. Don't know where that came from, but thank you for playing. Black. Right in the middle, we've got that black circle. And black reminds us of something not very nice, but something we've got to take seriously, and that's sin. The Bible says we're all guilty of sin, that sin affects every one of us. Sin causes us to do things that are against God's laws, and it's sin that has caused so many of our wars. Because there's sin in our world. But then what's the second color? What comes after black there? What do we see? Before that, red. We see red. And that red reminds us of blood. The Bible says this, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. You see, the Bible tells us the only way to deal with that problem of that black sin in our lives was for someone to give his life and shed his blood for us. Who was that? Who died and shed his blood for us? You should all be shouting it out. Jesus. Yes. Jesus bled and died for us, took the punishment for our sin, so that sin can now be forgiven and sin's power overcome. Then what's the third color? Go back to the poppy, please. Green. Green reminds us of new life. After wars are over, there comes the task of building up, of starting afresh to rebuild. Green speaks to us of new life. And the key to new life in the heart of human beings is that we acknowledge our sin, we confess our sin, we turn to Jesus, we ask for his forgiveness, and when we do that, we are told that we're born again, that we're made new, our sin is taken away, we're given new life in Jesus. And that's something for us to celebrate today, that new life that is ours, because Jesus shed his blood for our sin. And so our poppies today help us remember the brave men and women who have given their lives for their country. But the poppy also helps us to remember the good news about Jesus, the one who came and shed his blood so that our sin could be forgiven. We're not going to be laying our wreaths this morning until the second service with the Royal British Legion, but at this moment, I'm just going to ask everybody to stand, and we're going to take a brief time of silence, remembrance, to give thanks to God for the good news of Jesus Christ. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love this world so much, despite our sin, that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus. You tell us, Lord, that greater love has no man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. We thank you that you have shown us even greater love in this. While we were yet sinners, your Son laid down his life for us. We thank you for that forgiveness, for our sin that comes through Jesus' sacrifice. We thank you for the new life, the new birth that is ours when we put our trust in him. Today we look back and we remember those who gave their lives to defend our nation, who were prepared to make that ultimate sacrifice to protect our freedoms and our way of life. We honor their memory. We thank you for them. We thank you above all for your gift of love in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Please be seated, folks. And handing over to Hannah at this point. Thanks, Hannah.
Good morning, and welcome to our summer report service, where we'll be hearing about how God was at work in and through our young people this summer and give him thanks. And so we're going to start by doing that this morning. We're going to praise the Lord by singing to him. And one of our favorite songs that we sang at Ganaway this year was God is for us. And in it, we are reminded of these words from Romans 8. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So let's stand and sing with joy to our God who is for us.
Hello. Good morning. Fantastic to be able to feedback about what we were doing over the summer. For those of you who don't know, I'm Daniel. This is the rest of our team here. And then my brother Ben and cousin Katie were also helping lead. We had a fantastic time over the summer. It all started last February. It seems so long ago. And we had a 16-week program where we met up every week, which we're going to hear a bit more about. And then from the 30th of June to the 9th of July, we were in Romania, which was an incredible experience, which the guys are going to share about now. So, Alex, you're up first. You did the 16-week discipleship course with us, but didn't go to Romania. Can you tell us a bit about what that looked like and what we did?
So, we met up once a week for 16 weeks, and before every meeting, we did a number of readings from the Bible. And during our meetings, we discussed what questions we had for the readings, our takeaways, and the things that surprised us. And also, we went on a residential in Portrush, where we went on the Big Dipper at Curry's.
Always a big highlight. Curry's trip seems to make it into everything we talk about. So then we flew out to Romania on the 30th of June, and we started off with 3 days in a thing called bush camp. Emily, what was that and what did we do?
Yes, we did that the first time we were there. Well, first we had a short talk where we learned about the persecuted church, and then we had to do a number of different challenges to see who would get to win their materials to make their shelter first. And our team won, thankfully. So then we went about building our shelters, and they all stayed up all night, so that was good. And obviously it wasn't very comfortable, but it was okay. And then we had to get up at 5 a.m. the next morning, and we went on a thing called the Shepherd's Experience. We went and we heard from a real-life shepherd.
The Shepherd Experience was an incredible experience where we followed, as Emily was saying there, we actually followed a real-life shepherd about. Very interesting to see what they do, and sort of reading passages of scripture that talk about the Lord's my shepherd, and seeing a real life shepherd defending his sheep was very interesting. So then we continued on, we were all together as a big team for the first 3 days, and then after that, then we split up and did two different placements. So myself and Jessica's team were in one place, and then Ben and Katie's were in another. So Ben's going to tell us about our placement, and then Max is going to tell us about their placement.
Yeah, so on our placement, the first thing we did is that we ran a one-day kids camp for a church in Zalu, the Hungarian Reformed Church, which just was like Bible verses and games and stories and stuff like that. Next thing we did was we ran a youth camp lasting of 3 days, which again was lots of games and as well as small groups and stuff. And also we did a lot of work with the community around the church, you know, painting fences and moving wood. Apparently, I'm not very good at painting fences. Dan redid everything that I did. But, and then we also did some work with the Roma community there. We played games and face painted and stuff like that. I think that's everyone.
Yeah, our team ran a kids' club just outside Cluj in the town. And we ran a kids' club and we did lots of activities in the morning, mostly sporting activities because our group was very sporty. And then we went inside and did a Bible verse, which was quite hard because we had to get it translated, but we had a very good English teacher who helped us a lot with that. And then after our Bible verses, we did a quiz on it, where we split the two teams into boys versus girls, and the boys versus girls games got very competitive. And by the end of the week, we gave out prizes for the winners. And then we stopped for lunch, had a break, and then in the afternoon we did a youth session where we had the youth from the church, and we did small groups and games with them as well. The highlight of our group was going on a day trip with the youth to a waterfall, and we all went for a swim in extremely cold water.
Great. Abigail, why don't you kick us off? What was your highlight from Ganaway this summer?
I really enjoyed a lot of it, honestly. It was really hard to pick, but I think it was probably the high ropes course. You may have seen it in the video, where you had to climb up a ladder that got progressively, like, the spaces apart got progressively further the further you went up, and our team was the only one to get, like, all of our team members to it to the very top.
Yeah, some of you like monkeys on those things. Great. Daniel, why don't you tell us what your highlight of Ganaway was?
My highlight of Ganaway was probably the team games that we all played together. I thought it was really good fun because everybody got a little competitive there, and there was a lot of just competitive and yeah. It was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, they were good. Yeah, really good. Sarah, what was your highlight?
I was going to just say jorts, but a lot of people here wouldn't get that. So it was probably the talent show on the last night where the Holy Rollers gave us quite a performance.
Yeah, absolutely. Abigail, what is something that God taught you during the week or something that you enjoyed learning about him?
I feel like I really felt God's presence, honestly, throughout the whole week. I really loved the beacon sessions and the small groups especially. But I think he probably... The one thing he taught me was we learned about, like, the Samaritan woman, and Jesus came, and, like, even though she was sinful, Jesus still came for her, and I think that was really, like, that really spoke to me.
Thank you. Daniel?
Yeah, so I really enjoyed the beacon sessions and small groups as well, and I thought that everybody was really... enjoying it and really, you know, taking part. And then I think that God was definitely there as well, as Abigail said. And God taught me that it's better to talk about him with different people and people you know and different people between all ages. So.
Mm. We had lots of opportunities to speak about him during the week, didn't we? Yeah. Sarah?
God taught me, as working part of the leadership team, that you can have so many people with different experiences and different skills and from different backgrounds who can all come together, and it really isn't a group that should work, but God makes it work for his glory every single time, and you always see him in everything that's done.
Great. Sarah, why don't you hold on to the mic there? I've got another question for you. How have you seen God continue to use Ganaway and our time there at the start of this academic year?
Well, you can really see that it's growing, like our church family, with all the extra youth that have been coming to GB and BB, and the youth night that we had a couple of weeks ago with the huge numbers and so many familiar faces from Ganaway. So it's just so encouraging to see our community growing and so many people wanting to come and get involved with things here at Railway Street.
Great. Lastly then, Abigail and Daniel, would you recommend people go to Ganaway 2023?
Yes, definitely. Highly recommend it. Highly recommend it. It was such great fun, and like the leaders were all really nice too.
Phew. Daniel, would you recommend?
Absolutely.
Good.
It was so much fun.
Good. I'm so glad that you said that, because planning is already underway for Ganaway next year. Next year, we'll be going from the 15th to the 20th of July. So get those dates in your diary and get inviting your friends along to that. And we're really looking forward to that. Thank you so much to all of you.
Thank you.
We're going to pray to God our Father now and thank him for all his goodness to us over the summer. And Anna is going to come and lead us as we pray.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your faithfulness to us, that we can trust you in all we do, to walk with us and guide us. Thank you that you use us, and through your power, we can do great things in your name and for your glory. As we reflect on the mission work church has done over the summer, we are so grateful for the exciting opportunities you have given us. We pray for all the campers that were at Ganaway, that you will continue to work in their lives and they will continue to be challenged by the things they learned over the week. We pray that they will be reminded of who you are and what you've done for them and recognize what that means for their lives. We pray for courage for them to live out a life for you. We also pray for their families, that they will be encouraged by Ganaway and all those people that came to visit us on Tuesday at the barbecue. I pray that they will want to know more about who you are. And Lord, give us courage as a church to be bold in seeking relationships with them, the youth and their families, to support them in their journey with you and bring them into your family. Thank you, Lord, that we had the opportunity to send a team to Romania. Thank you for keeping them safe and that they had a successful trip. We pray for the families and children our team worked with in Romania and the local communities and all the people Exodus teams reached. We pray that they saw through them an example of your love and grace and came to know you. We pray for continuing relationships with churches and other Christians in Romania so that we can encourage them faithfully and pray for them as they continue to work to do your work. We also pray for those who took part in being part of the team and that they will have a passion to continue to teach people about you and learn more about you for themselves. Father, use the conversations and the work that's happened this summer to bring people closer to you, and we pray it will continue to be fruitful. Thank you, Lord, for blessing our church with so many willing and gifted leaders. We pray you will build them up, encourage, give them energy and vision for future work too. We pray for the work that is already being planned for next year, that you will guide us and help us to plan the best way to do your work. Lord, I also pray for our church. I pray that they will be encouraged to continue to pray for everything that's going on. And if anyone is inspired and wants to take part, that you will give them boldness and courage to step up as well. Amen.
So before AJ comes to speak from God's word, Stephen is going to come and read to us from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 25. Thanks, Stephen.
The Bible reading this morning is taken from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 25. Therefore, with mind so alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on the Father, hears each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here, in reverent fear, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Not that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever.
Thanks for that, Stephen. So throughout Ganaway, our series was face to face. We looked at people who had encountered Jesus face to face. We talked about Nicodemus, the Samaritan woman, Mary, Martha, the disciples, and then we finished with Thomas after Jesus' death. And this made me think, how could I follow this up? This ultimately led to what I'm going to speak about now, where I'm going to say that we embody Jesus now and that people are coming face to face with us. So firstly, we started early this morning, so I wanted to begin with a game just to make sure everyone's still awake there. So during lockdown, I began to watch a show. It's called Only Connect. Some of you have probably watched it. The concept's very simple. You get shown a series of clues, four clues, one by one, and the faster you get it, the more points you get. Sadly, I don't have any prizes today, but you can sit there knowing with satisfaction that you got the correct answer. So we're going to begin with a picture round. So if the first slide wants to come up. So who's this? Who, Lewis? We'll go to the next one. No one seems to be able to get it. Nope. We'll go for the next clue. Can anyone get the connection now? Yep, so they're all Donald, so we just want to show the last one as well, just to confirm. So yep, so we have Donald Duck there as well. So this round's slightly more difficult, so we go to the next one. So legend. What could that mean? We'll go to the next clue. Cocktail. Oh, very good. Yep, exactly. You're doing well, Michael. So if we just show the other two there. So yeah, we've got Minority Report and then Top Gun. So Michael's on 4 points so far. Everyone else is on zero. If we go to the next one. So we've got Red and White. No one? Very good, Brian. You've got it in one. So... If we go and show the other clues, so we've got 1885, the year Southampton were founded, 18, the position they are in the Premier League. Sorry, Michael. And then we've got Rishi Sunak and Michael Davidson, the two most famous supporters of Southampton Football Club. So I think Brian takes the win with that. So congratulations to Brian. And we've got one more here. So we've got insulting people behind their backs. The next one, we've got being greedy and jealous.
Sin.
Not what I'm looking for. You're out. if we go for the next one, being prideful and arrogant. Nope, no one. And then we'll finish with worshiping false idols. No one seems to be getting this one. How many of you would have said that describes a Christian? Probably no one. And that brings us to the passage we read today in 1 Peter. In this chapter, we're told not to conform to the evil desires we once had, but instead be holy in all we do. When we come face to face with others, they will look at how we act. It's therefore vital that what we do and say goes hand in hand with what we believe. People's first impressions often remain with them, good or bad. I think one of the easiest ways to be an example is to watch what we say. Avoid swearing and being involved in gossip. Our language is so powerful. There's times where people who I know have assumed Christians or people were Christians because they didn't swear, and half the time it turned out they weren't even. How can we expect people to believe in God if they see us as being half-hearted and only doing it when it suits us? like in James 2:4-18, and says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things they need for the body, what good is it? So also, by faith itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works.' Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." This passage outlines how important it is to have both faith and action. You can't have one without the other. If one is missing, you can come across as insincere or hypocritical. Something I've always stood by is that you make times for things that you love and enjoy. For example, if you love a football team, you take time to watch all their matches, you travel with them, home and away, and ultimately you sacrifice your time for them because it's something that you love. We take time to see our friends and our families because we love being with them. But there's times where we profess to love God, but we can't even give him an hour and a half on a Sunday morning. Or we give him that, and we don't give him much else. When we're face to face with others, they'll look at our priorities. And often someone's priorities show the true desires of their heart, because they actively take time to do that. We also base our priorities on what other people value highly, i.e. we go to university because people value having an education, or what sports to play, or what new shows to watch. No one wants to watch a show that someone sits down and only watches for 10 minutes every week. You probably wouldn't think it's very good. So when, rather than watching something that people can't stop watching, so when we apply this to our lives, what do people see in us? Do they see us putting God first? If people don't see God as our number one priority, why would they ever think that they need him? If someone looked at what you do on a day-to-day, weekly basis, how would they describe your faith? So recently, I've begun to collect football shirts. This is something that I saw when I was over in Manchester. They have a shop there that does it. And so a few months ago, I bought this Norwich City top. And when I went to put it on, I noticed that inside in the bottom, there was something printed. So we go to the next one. Yeah. So at the bottom of the shirt, it says 6 words, and those are up on the screen. So it says growth, integrity, belonging, resilience, pride, and commitment. And this made me think, the people in Norwich Football Club expect these values for anyone that puts on their shirt, whether they're players or fans. These are the values that they demand are met and sought after. And when you put that shirt on, that's what you're representing. They would say that those are the values that the club has been built on. They see them as vital to the club's success, and every time you're wearing it, it's what you should display. This is similar to us. When we go out as Christians, we represent God. Just like we wear a uniform, we represent our school, our work, our sports team, and people know exactly what we do or who we play for. And just like with the values Norwich City have printed on their tops, God has shown us through the fruit of the Spirit the values that we should display. These being love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's the same concept as what's expected of the Norwich City players. When we go out representing God and what he desires for us to act like, people will look at us. We're his team, and we're given an important role. Of course, this is easier said than done. If it were easy, I wouldn't be up here speaking today. It takes time to grow, and we must strive to be holy in all we do. So since I had discovered the printing on the shirt, out of curiosity, I decided to look over some of my other shirts to see if they had anything on the inside as well. And to my surprise, I discovered this. So the words "Better Never Stops" were on my Rangers top from when they won the league a few seasons ago. And I think this is a great attitude to have, that we should take with us daily, and by always trying to better ourselves. Better never stops. It doesn't say that it has to happen all at once. It can be a gradual process, but we need to keep trying if we want to get better. So often, it's all too easy to become complacent or allow ourselves and others to drop off or fall away. But God calls us to be better, to leave behind the temporary things that distract us, like money and other earthly desires, and to shift our focus solely on Him and His glory. This only happens whenever our priorities are right and we're putting effort into the correct things, holy things. First, we must fix our eyes on Jesus, and everything else will fall in place. When I went on placement, I said to myself, at the end, I want to have done such a good job that I want all the other managers to look at me and think, oh, I wish I'd got him instead. It's always easier to have a desire to improve when we have some sort of goal to drive us and improve and to get better. I'm not saying to compare yourselves to others and to strive to be more holy than the person beside you, but rather compare yourself with yourself. I want you to be more like Jesus later than the person you are now. First off, we need to have knowledge. How can we hope to act like Jesus if we don't even read how he acted? And once we've done that, we need to take time to look back every week, month, or year and see areas where we can grow and improve. Take a look at yourself now and think, I want to be so much further in my faith than where I am now. As I said, it's a gradual process, but with a clear goal, it will be easier to achieve. The key is to make the goals tangible, not simply, I want to pray more, or I'll read my Bible for longer. A simple example is, whenever you leave for work or school in the morning, inevitably there'll be some downtime. Use this downtime to focus on God. Read your Bible on the train or the bus. Listen to a sermon in the car. This will set up your mindset for the day ahead. There are so many moments in our lives where we probably look back and think, I could have used that time better. So realizing where we can make the most of it is massively beneficial. I think evangelism is an area where I and many others struggle with, and somewhere we should strive to be better. A thought crossed my mind recently that we may overlook because we've always been involved with church. But going to church can be intimidating, especially for people who've never been before or haven't been in a long time. It's vital that we grow and put ourselves out of our comfort zones to invite new people to church. How likely is it that someone who has no faith takes time out of their Sunday to come to church, where compared to someone who's never been but has been invited by their friend who loves God and wants to learn and grow as much as possible? We have facilities here now that we can invite people to. We have parents coming to BB and GB, for example, that can all be asked. Or your friends in work or school. Evangelism is something we can improve, and to be better, we must not stop. It can start with something as simple as telling them what you did over the weekend or that you're praying for them. My final point, we're just going to finish with one more connection. So if we get those up. So we've got deny Jesus. If we go on to the next one. Got prosecuted many Christians. If we go to the next one. If we've got ran from God. And then if we go for the final one. So we've got had a speech problem. So the connection this time is that God used these people who all had faults. However, because of God, they overcame them and did great things. Peter, Paul, Jonah, and Moses are only some examples of the very regular people with natural flaws that God used to do incredible things. If we go back to 1 Peter, we can be so encouraged by what we read. And why is that? Because the word of God is forever. That means that the God that helped Moses lead people out of Egypt or helped the disciples begin churches is the same God that we have today, and he and his word will always be the same. We read in Isaiah 4:43-2, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. We alone are weak, but with God, the impossible becomes possible." It's often too easy to make excuses. "Oh, they won't be interested," or, "I can't do that. I'm not that type of person." But God is with us, and because of him, we can. Those excuses are no longer valid and don't have any power. We're called to stand out by not conforming and acting towards the world, but to have the strength to stand up and be different, to be foreigners, and it takes real strength to do that. So last week, we ended with the lyrics of Queen, but today we're going to have another musical act, Huey Lewis and the News. So they have a song called Hip to Be Square, and it's basically a satirical song about how it's cool to fit in with what everyone else is doing and how we should conform to the rest of society. It talks about how people in the 1960s suddenly started cutting their hair and working out because that's what everyone else is doing. When we're called to be foreigners, how we act and talk will set us apart and people will look down on us. But we need to shift our perspective to focus on what God wants, not what society wants, because God is our primary goal. So to recap, first, people connect our actions to our faith, and one without the other doesn't work. Secondly, we represent God out there, where we wear his team shirt with his values on it that we should strive to reach. Thirdly, better never stops. If we want to grow, we need to constantly try and improve, and we must take time to humble ourselves and identify areas where we can improve. And finally, we don't go out there alone. We have the people in here to help, but above, we have God, our Creator, who's known us from before we were born and wants to do everything he can to help us. And that's a great encouragement for us. So I think the band are going to come up now.
As we finish this morning, let's pray. Father, thank you for all your work among our young people here. Thank you for their testimony of your goodness and faithfulness. Please help us in your grace and mercy to live faithfully unto you wherever you place us in this week ahead, for your glory forever. Amen.